Charlotte, North Carolina. Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters. At CRI, we've been alerting the church both that truth is under siege and that the Bible is under siege as we begin day two of our special programs. The battle for the Bible is being waged on public airwaves, in our nation's schools, the government, and private sector. The war is intense and ferocious at times, with high casualties. But CRI stands in the gap to provide you with truthful, well-reasoned answers for skeptics and followers of Christ. One attack by University of North Carolina Religious Studies professor Dr. Bart Ehrman asserts that God hasn't preserved and thus inspired the Bible.
If God didn't go to the trouble of preserving the words of Scripture, the authoritative words of Scripture, they probably didn't go to the trouble of inspiring them in the first place.
Order the Bible Under Siege when you call the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And sometimes when I hear the voice of Professor Bart Ehrman and the many allegations that he makes against the Word of God, sometimes I want to weep, other times I want to laugh. Some of the objections that he raises, I would imagine his students must roll their eyes at. He seems, for example, confused over the number of animals Noah took with him on the ark. And so he poses the question, does Noah take seven pairs of all the clean animals, as Genesis 7:2 states, or just two pairs, as Genesis 7:9 through 10 indicates? Well, I'd like to pose a different question. Does it seem logical to suppose that an author gets confused within the span of a couple of sentences? Or is it more likely that Professor Ehrman is straining at gnats and swallowing a camel? Is his question legitimate, or has he once again created a problem out of whole cloth? And I don't mean to pick on him, but he's a great poster boy for not knowing how to read the Bible in any sense. I mean, he is not only a professor gone wild, he's a wooden literalist on the left. He is stuck in a fundamentalist paradigm. I mean, Ehrman has once again created a fictional problem. Why? Because if you go to the text, you find out Genesis 7, 9 through 10 does not say that Noah is to take just two pairs. So he sets up this straw man by the very language that he uses. And I can't judge his heart, but I gotta think he's smarter than that. If he really wants his question answered, all he needs to do is ask one of his conservative students to simply read the context for him. Because several verses back, God says to Noah, "You're to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female." And then in Genesis 7, I think it's verse 2, God adds the following instruction, "Take with you seven of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, and two of every kind of unclean animal, a male and its mate, and also seven of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth." And together these verses provide a sufficient answer to the question. What's the problem? And why is it that Bart Ehrman can go on Jon Stewart or CNN or PBS, write these books, and reasonable people fall for his continuous barrage that the Bible is just riddled with mistakes? Why do they buy this? Well, they buy it because they've never heard the other side of the story, and that's why I wrote a little booklet, The Bible Under Siege. It counters the Bart Ehrmans of the world. Not just Bart Ehrman, and I know I'm picking on him, but he is an easy target. He just uh, he just makes the most incredible statements. And the statements are, they're not funny. I mean, they are silly, but they're not funny. I mean, he is castigating the Lord of Glory as being a false apocalyptic prophet. I mean, that's no small charge, taking Jesus and making him to be a false prophet. He is communicating that the Bible is riddled with contradictions. He is, in essence, mocking the faith once for all delivered to the saints. And we have to have an answer. Do we have to answer a fool after his own folly? Well, in some cases, the Bible says don't do it. But in many cases, when someone has credibility or is given credibility and he's making statements like this, and someone doesn't come from the opposite perspective and say, hey, wait a minute, he set up a straw man. At first blush and with the media sound bites, you can quickly do what Bill Maher and Bart Ehrman and the rest of them are doing. You can laugh at the Bible. But once you look at it more closely, you have to laugh at the straw man because the straw man looks funny. And you have to wonder why a professor, a distinguished professor, would be setting up a straw man like this. But ultimately, I guess this is the bottom line. We have to be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, with gentleness and with respect. It's difficult to do sometimes, but we've got to do it. If we don't give an answer, people think there isn't an answer, and we're called to be defenders of the faith. Again, that's why I've written The Bible Under Siege, and it is available for your gift to the ministry. So there's two things that this little booklet does. One is it is a way of me saying thank you for your gift to the ministry, which we need to continue broadcasting around the globe. On the other hand, it equips you when someone who falls for the rhetoric of a Bart Ehrman thinks that the Bible is hopelessly flawed, it provides answers. In fact, it provides you discernment skills, a way of looking at the issue so you know how to think about these things. It's a little booklet, easy to read. Hopefully it'll make a big difference. You can order it through the World Wide Web at equip.org via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or through our resource consults at 888-7000 CRI. By the way, that translates to 888-7000-274. Truth is under siege in our culture. We're not standing for it. We're going to stand on the truth. We're going to make a difference. And we're hoping and praying that God will raise an increasingly large army to stand with this ministry so we can continue doing what we do. We can't do it alone. We need you to stand with us prayerfully and financially. So again, give us a call, write me, let me know you're standing with me. It does make a huge difference. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to George. He's listening on WCRV in Cleveland, Mississippi. Hi, George.
Hello, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Yes, sir. My question is from Ephesians 2:10. I've read this verse many times, and the verses were his created to be his workmanship, and were created unto good works.
Yeah.
So if we're created unto good works after we get saved, then does that mean that the good works are an evidence of us being saved? Because I don't know that I could boast that I have that many good works in my life. So does this mean that I'm saved or not saved?
Well, let's look at this for a second. In context, 10 is preceded by 8 and 9 in Ephesians 2. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith.
Yes, sir.
And this not from yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast, for you are created as God's workmanship, and you're created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So the principle here is that we are saved by faith alone, however, the faith that saves us is never alone. It inevitably produces works. So we're not working for salvation, but we are working from salvation. And works are not a condition of justification. They are a consequence of salvation. We're not saved by works, but we're saved by the kind of faith that produces good works. So if you are saved, guess what happens? You've received the gift of a king. You've received something you can't earn or deserve. What are you going to do? You're going to work or live a life of gratitude in thanksgiving for what you have been so freely given. If I gave you $1 million, you wouldn't step on my foot. You'd thank me. And I think that when we speak about the gift of eternal life, there's no value you can put. It's a gift that is incomprehensible. And so we live a life of gratitude. We become not only the workmanship of God, but we become workers in His kingdom, extending His kingdom not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. So someone who is truly saved, what's one thing they're going to do? They've received a free gift of life, and they have the ability to give that gift to somebody else. So one of the works they do is they become a vessel through which the Holy Spirit can communicate the gospel to others. That's a work that we do. We share the gospel with others. We're not saved by that, but we're saved unto that. Of course you're going to share what you have so freely been given with others so that they may receive it as well. That make sense?
That's a great answer. I haven't heard it put that way before. That's terrific.
Yeah, and there are so many passages that underscore this. I mean, if you look at Titus, he saved us not because of righteous things that we've done, but because of his mercy. Or John, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Or John 20, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And of course, when you have life in his name, you want to be an agent through which others can receive that life as well. And those are the good works that you do. And by the way, the one who saves you is also the one who transforms you so that you can do works.
All right.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. Appreciate it. Want to go back to the phone lines now. We'll talk to Mike. He's listening on KSLR in San Antonio, Texas. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Hank?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. My question was, me and my ex-girlfriend, we split up for the same reason right here, is because she's a Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah.
And I just came to know the Lord in November when I gave my life to him, and so I'm kind of sketchy on the whole situation myself, but she believes that because I carry a cross with me, you know, on the necklace, it said that Jehovah, that he was crucified on a torture stick, not a cross. Do you know, like, more or less, how can I answer something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's the crucial issue whether Jesus died on a cross or on a stake. I mean, it wouldn't really matter.
Well, she says that I'm following, like, a fake religion, a false religion.
Well, first of all, I think we have ample historical evidence now, which gives us an indication of how Roman crucifixion worked.
Okay.
So the notion that Jesus Christ was crucified on a stake flies in the face of what we know, not only biblically, but what we know historically.
Uh-huh.
Secondly, the real problem from a Jehovah's Witness standpoint is much more serious, because they start with the presupposition that Jesus Christ is created as the Archangel Michael.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've heard her say that as well.
Yeah, so this is how it cashes out. They say that God created all things, and that Jesus Christ himself is one of the things that God created, and after God creates Jesus Christ becomes a junior partner in the creation of all other things. And the way that they make that work is they add the word other to their New World Translation of the Bible four times in Colossians 1. Secondly, they believe that during Christ's earthly sojourn, he was merely a human being. Now, as Christians, we say, no, That's not correct at all. In fact, if Jesus was merely a human being, he could not have sufficiently atoned for the sins of the world. And then they say that after his death, and this is where the crucial error comes in, he is recreated an immaterial spirit creature. And that flies in the face of everything that Scripture teaches, even what they would read if they read it correctly in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which attests to the physical resurrection. The hope of Christianity is to resurrect physically as Jesus Christ resurrected, not as a spirit creature. They have a different view of heaven. They have a heaven for 144,000, and then they have an earthly paradise for everybody else, so they divide people into groups. The Bible doesn't do that at all. It's this universe recreated to what it once was, and us living there in glorified bodies. I'll be right back.
As Thomas Paine, one of the founding fathers of the United States, put it, it is error and not truth that shrinks from inquiry. But that's only true today if people have the right mental maps to guide their inquiry. And that's why Hank and the team would like to send you the Bible Under Siege booklet for your help in resupplying CRI with the resources needed to continue leading the battle for biblical truth. Order the Bible Under Siege by Hank Hanegraaff for yourself, a student, or a skeptical friend when you call the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go online 24 hours a day to our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't touch that dial. The nationally syndicated Bible Answer Man broadcast returns in just a moment.
Mom, I'm home.
Hi, honey. How was school today?
It was okay, I guess.
Just okay?
Well, in science class, the teacher said that people came from apes and monkeys, and that we all came from little cells in the water. Mom, I'm so confused. You told me the Bible said that God created everything. Who's right, my teacher or the Bible?
Each school year, this scene is played out in more homes across the country. The result? More children reject the existence of God and His intended design of the universe. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote Fatal Flaws. It addresses such issues as how and when the world began, whether humans were intended or merely an accident, the spiritual dimension of the human soul, and more. Pick up Fatal Flaws by Hank Hanegraaff. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Order it on our website at equip.org.
These are the last of the last days. Oh, somewhere between 2003 and 2005, Jesus will come back.
How much longer do you think we really might have?
I don't believe we have another 10 years.
Anywhere from now till 2018, Jesus Christ will appear to set up his thousand-year kingdom of revelation.
When will Jesus come back? The consensus is as varied as the number of so-called experts you ask. So where do you turn for definitive scriptural insight on the end times? Understanding Revelation is now within your grasp. The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff deals with today's most asked prophecy questions. It distinctively presents a method by which you can read the Bible for all it's worth. The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about end times and why it matters today by Hank Hanegraaff. To order, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or order online at equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. appreciate the information you get from the daily broadcast of the Bible Answer Man, our website, equip.org, or our flagship publication, Christian Research Journal, please let us know. We're always encouraged by what God is doing through this ministry.
Hello, I'm Judy, and I've been a regular listener for a number of years, and the show has greatly enriched my walk with the Lord, and I just wanted to say how I appreciate the truth in these times, and I appreciate being equipped, and I've made use of a lot of the resources, and I particularly appreciate the acronyms Hank uses, and those are very helpful in remembering, and I plan to continue supporting as much and as often as I can. Thanks a lot for what you do.
If you can make a special gift, you enter into partnership with us as we equip people from around the United States and the world to defend and declare the good news of Jesus Christ. So as you feel led, we would love to have you help us and join the work God is doing through the ministry of CRI. Too many Christians feel that the war against truth and the Bible has already been lost in the battle of postmodernism. A survey of many college and university campuses would lead one to believe that surviving Christian soldiers or other prisoners of war still harboring a belief in objective truth are hunkered down in their foxholes, totally outnumbered and believing they're out of ammunition. The Bible Under Siege by Hank Hanegraaff is a well-reasoned and research-loaded weapon with which you can become equipped to fight back, or give a copy to a student or a skeptical friend. Order right now when you call 888-7000-274 or online at www.equip.org. And now, here's our host, Hank Hanegraaff.
I was thinking about the previous call in the last segment about the Jehovah's Witnesses and making a big deal out of Jesus dying on a torture stake as opposed to a cross. I was thinking about the fact that I ought to alert the listening audience to the fact that you don't want to get off on these rabbit trails. Sure, you can give a credible answer to that question, but the more fundamental issue is, was Jesus Christ the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence, or was Jesus Christ himself a created being? So we want to stick with the main and the plain things. But if you have to deal with the stake versus the cross, I mean, one of the things that is instructive is just to have the Jehovah's Witness read John 20:25, where Thomas says, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and stick my finger into the print of the nails," and notice the plural there, "and stick my hand into his side, I will certainly not believe." So you can ask the Jehovah's Witness, why does John 20:25 say nails as opposed to simply saying a nail? So you can answer the question, but even if you answer that question, you haven't dealt with the main and the plain thing. So again, just a warning, don't get off on the rabbit trails. Stick with the big issues in witnessing to the kingdom of the cults, and that's what we do at the Christian Research Institute. We overrule objections. We confound the cults, who are oftentimes confounding the Christians, and we are providing ammo for the front lines so that the troops are not empty-handed. And as Randy mentioned, the Bible Under Siege is one of the latest of those resources. I spent a lot of time putting these resources together personally, and for your gift to the ministry to keep us on air, to keep all the work of research that we do here going, as a way of saying thank you. We send you the book as a way of showing your support. You pray for this ministry and support it financially. You can do it on the World Wide Web at equip.org. At Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or through our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. I wish I never had to say a thing about the need for support. In some ways, I think it's good to say it because we don't want to be in the battle alone. We want people to participate in a ministry making a significant difference. But I'm inclined to want to just do the work of ministry, but the reality is, without your support,
We simply have to go off stations. We have to curtail our work. Right now, to seize the vision, we need a growing army of people to stand with us. And we need you to stand with us now. Again, write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Whatever you can do would be deeply appreciated. A small gift, large gift. Together, we can make a difference. We'll go back to the phone lines, talk to Larry. Larry's listening on WORD in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hi, Larry.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. Hank, if a person would commit suicide, would they be eternally separated from God?
Well, the first thing I would say, Larry, is that as a Christian, you would never contemplate suicide if you were in your right mind. And the reason is suicide is the murder of oneself. And as a Christian, you would never murder yourself because it is unthinkable to murder as a Christian. Now, it is possible that someone that's not in their right mind would commit an act of murdering oneself, but it certainly would not be anything that someone would do in their right mind. But no single act is unforgivable, to answer your question directly. The unforgivable sin is a continuous, ongoing rejection of forgiveness. And those who refuse forgiveness through Christ will spend eternity separated from his love and grace. But those who sincerely desire forgiveness can be absolutely certain that God will never spurn them. So suicide is not an unforgivable sin, but those who take the sacred name of Christ upon their lips dare not contemplate suicide. Our lives belong to God. He alone has the prerogative to bring our lives to an end. God himself says, I am the Almighty, and there is no God beside me. I put to death, I bring to life, I have wounded and I heal, and no one can deliver out of my hand. So God is the one who determines how long we will live, and we should never take that prerogative on ourselves. Make sense?
Hank, if somebody's, you know, tried their best to overcome, you know, their difficulties, and they just can no longer cope. I mean, where do they stand, you know, as far as God's concerned?
Are you contemplating suicide?
Oh, I'm asking for yes.
Are you a believer?
Yes.
Well, trust God because he is the one who will sustain you. Life is never easy. Life is one difficult circumstance after another, and the Bible never promises us a panacea, but Christ can promise you peace in the midst of life's storms. You're an overcomer through Jesus Christ. If you have taken his righteousness upon yourself, you can also trust that he will sustain you in the deepest, darkest pits of life. So you can't contemplate taking your own life. That's God's prerogative, not yours. Yours is to be faithful step by step. Don't try to think too far down the line. Realize that it is God who will take care of you each step of the way, and he'll give you enough light in the next moment so you can step into some more light, and the next day to step into the next day. But trust him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your paths. You cannot, as a Christian, take a prerogative that is God's alone. Therefore, you cannot take your own life. God has a purpose for you, Larry. He has a transcendent purpose for your life. You may not see it today, because you're discouraged and disillusioned, but he has a purpose for your life. Can you hang on and let someone from the Christian Research Institute talk to you for a while?
Yes.
Hang on, don't go away, and we'll have someone talk to you. For everybody else listening in, remember, suicide is the murder of oneself. I want to underscore that. It's a direct violation of the Sixth Commandment. I get a lot of people that ask me this question. They're despondent. They're suicidal. And what we always have to recognize is that God will sustain us. He will give us peace. We have to trust Him. Life isn't easy, but we can never take a prerogative that is God's alone. I remember my dad. My dad went through some of the most horrifying suffering towards the end of his life. He had a fibrosing in the lungs. It encroached upon his ability to assimilate oxygen, and he was literally suffocating to death. And he lived that way for a long, long period of time. And I remember seeing my dad in abject agony. And I said to my dad, "Dad, do you sometimes just want to go home and be with the Lord?" My dad again was in agony, and he said, "No, every moment is precious." And we saw the outworking of that at the end, because when my dad did finally die, he didn't die. Before, on his deathbed, he prayed for every one of his children and grandchildren, and then took a final agonizing breath and went home to be with the Lord. And those prayers on his deathbed, I think, are significant in my life and the lives of my children even to this day. So we cannot take the prerogative of God upon ourselves. He knows exactly all the days ordained for us. They're written in His book before even one of them came to be. Trust in the Lord. He will lead you. He will sustain you. Christianity is not about getting rid of discouragement or disease or death. It's about overcoming through the overcomer, Jesus Christ, and looking forward to the most glorious of all eventualities, the time in which there'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the older things has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I've written about the whole subject of suicide in a book called The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition. It's available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. The question that you just heard shows that we're not talking from an ivory tower. The questions that we answer deal with people who live in the real cauldron of life. This is not an ivory tower debate. This is where the rubber meets the road. We're making a difference by the grace of God, and we'll continue doing that because people pray for this ministry and stand with our ministry financially as well. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with more of your questions, so please don't touch that dial.
In Hank Hanegraaff's The Bible Under Siege, he offers three strategic and memorable acronyms to win the war in the fight for the Bible. First, in light of the current onslaught against the sacred text of Scripture, Hank gives us legacy, an apt means of remembering factors that credible historians consider in determining the historical reliability and meaning of the Bible. Next is Hank's new acronym, SHAFT, a memorable means of unearthing the undermining contentions of the Bart Ehrmans of the world. Indeed, the shaft of the archaeologist's spade is a method by which you can remember that what has been discovered in the soil corresponds to what is detailed in the Scriptures. Finally, maps. Since most Bibles are replete with maps, this should prove to be a memorable association. Become equipped to present the Bible in all its power and authority, and respond to false attacks when you order The Bible Under Siege for your gift to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online at www.equip.org. Did you know that you can hear The Bible Answer Man daily or the best of The Bible Answer Man every weekend on XM Satellite Radio Channel 170 or take in the broadcast online through our website at www.equip.org 24 hours a day? Further, you can also listen to past shows which are archived for your easy access. Hank returns with more of the broadcast right after this.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Outside of the holy words of Jesus and the Holy Spirit-inspired writings of the Bible, the words of men such as Augustine, Martin Luther, and Jonathan Edwards have most stirred the Christian church throughout history.
I seek an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade.
Now, these timeless works have been captured on CD by master storyteller Max MacLean in a collection called Classics of the Christian Faith. This high-quality compilation contains five of the greatest works by five of the greatest leaders of church history. It will enhance your Christian walk and give you a new appreciation for our rich heritage.
My conscience is captive to the Word of God. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me.
Classics of the Christian Faith CD Collection, narrated by Max MacLean. To order, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Find it on our website at equip.org.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Our cover story examines the idea of romantic love and ponders its role as the basis for marriage. When Mormon prophet Joseph Smith announced his discovery of the Book of Abraham in 1835, it was heralded as the most important find in biblical studies, older than the Old Testament, and provided the scriptural foundation for the Mormon doctrine of God. Find out why these claims are false. Our Effective Evangelism article provides 10 power-packed arguments for atheists to know that the universe is haunted. Practical Hermeneutics unpacks the question, how was Jesus made sin? And as always, don't miss the popular Ask Hank.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
At the Christian Research Institute, we accept the donations of non-cash assets such as cars, boats, and real estate. And just as with cash donations, these gifts are tax deductible. To find out more about the types of non-cash gifts you can donate to the work and ministry of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, just visit our website, www.equip.org. Once there, click on the Donate button, and then select the Give a Non-Cash Donation option. As Thomas Paine, one of the founding fathers of the United States, put it, it is error and not truth that shrinks from inquiry. But that's only true today if people have the right mental maps to guide their inquiry. And that's why Hank and the team would like to send you the Bible Under Siege booklet for your help in resupplying CRI with the resources needed to continue leading the battle for biblical truth. Get the truth and expose the errors when you order the Bible Under Siege by Hank Hanegraaff by calling the Christian Research Institute, 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or you can go online 24 hours a day to our secure website, www.equip.org. That's equip.org. And now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
I want to ask everyone who is listening to pray for our ministry. As always, without God's blessing, we are so impotent in the battle to restore a biblical perspective, particularly with respect to morals and ethics. We're making a strategic difference by God's grace, and every year a growing number of men, women, and children around the globe are dispensing with a view of relativism and embracing a relationship with the moral lawgiver who has loved them with an everlasting love. And the abundant, abiding fruit of the ministry is never harvested by accident. It is as a direct result of the fact that outside the walls of the Christian Research Institute, there's an army of saints who stand with us as co-laborers in a one-of-a-kind ministry. If you're ready to join the ranks, I would deeply appreciate it. Simply write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or visit our website in a safe, secure fashion. You can give online at www.equip.org, and let me know that you're standing with us, not only financially, but also prayerfully. It will be a great encouragement. A lot of you hanging on. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Thomas. He's listening on KKHT in Houston, Texas. Hi, Thomas.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my question.
My pleasure.
James 5 and 6, 10 says, "The prayers of the righteous availeth much." 1 Peter 3, 12 says, "That the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer." Now, Romans 3:10 says, there's none righteous. So if none of us are righteous, how can we expect to have powerful prayers and expect the Lord to hear our prayers and be attentive to them?
Yeah. Well, Romans 3 is pointing out that no one is righteous in and of himself or herself. In other words, there's no intrinsic righteousness. We are righteous not of our own. We have a foreign righteousness, not one that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. So again, the point is no one is righteous in and of himself or herself. And then if you look at James, a believer is righteous in Christ by grace through faith. So again, the point of James is to say that we are righteous because we are accounted positionally as being righteous in Jesus Christ. So practically, we're sinners. Positionally, we're declared righteous because of the finished work of Jesus Christ.
Okay, I see. Thank you, Hank. I appreciate it. I know I can always count on you to clear up any discrepancies.
Yeah, and by the way, this is another classic case of context, 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 because in Romans 3, Paul is concluding a sustained argument that all people, Jew and Gentile alike, are sinners and worthy only of God's condemnation and wrath. So no one is righteous in and of themselves. And then in James chapter 5, there's a context in which James is speaking of a true believer in Christ who by grace seeks the will of God and so prays according to the will of God. Thus God hears his prayers. And again, a believer is righteous in Christ by grace through faith.
Right. Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
Okay. So we're, again, the prayers of a righteous man accomplish much, but was our righteousness? It's a foreign righteousness, a righteousness not of our own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ.
Thank you, Hank.
You got it, my friend. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. Hameta listening on KCCV in Olathe, Kansas. Hi, Hameta.
Hello, sir. Basically, I wanted to get your opinion or some information. I heard a lady talking about occults, and I have one that I'm in question. Mr. Ron Wineland, have you heard of him? He wrote The Prophesied End of Times. And it's also, I think he belongs to the Church of God. The reason I ask is because of my brother has recently been following him and his teachings, and it has come down to the point where, my brother has completely changed. His character has totally changed, and he has actually formulated a timeline of exact date, year, month, when the world will come to an end, according to this Mr. Wineland. And I'm highly concerned because of the fact that, the Bible says, beware of false prophets. And he has, declared that he is a self-proclaimed prophet. I've done some research on him. It just seems to be that, I feel like I get nowhere. And we were brought up Catholic, of course. It's completely different from what he's learning about now, and he's sort of pulling away from the family, which is the saddest part. you know, he chooses to go to church on Saturday and says that is the actual day that we're supposed to worship God. And I think the hardest part is because he no longer celebrates Christmas, Easter, you know, and I'm beginning to wonder if this Church of God is legitimate or not, or if it's a cult, and what do we do to, you know, to help, you know, our loved one not go the wrong way.
This gentleman has rejected essential Christian doctrine like the Trinity, Christ's divinity, his humanity, the person and deity of the Holy Spirit, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, salvation by grace through faith alone, etc. So it's a cultic group. I've written about that because I was very much involved in the transformation of people by God's grace within that movement who were genuinely seeking truth and were suspect to the teachings of Herbert W. Armstrong. And as a result of that, the leadership, people like Joseph Tkach Sr. and Jr. embraced the true gospel and came to recognize that they had been involved in a genuine cult. And Joseph Tkach is the leader of the Worldwide Church of God. And I actually wrote the foreword to his book, Transformed by Truth. He now rejects all the things that the church once taught and is helping those trapped within the splinter groups come to a true valuation of things with respect to the true gospel.
And I'm sorry, sir, what was the name of that you said? Is it the book?
Yeah, there's a book. It was called Transformed by Truth, and I wrote the foreword to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, wonderful.
And there's another book, by the way. Tom LaPaca, who was also involved in that movement, wrote a book, Out of the Shadows, which describes how he came to understand God's grace. He was a pastor in the Worldwide Church of God when they embraced Armstrong's teachings.
Okay, Tom LaPaca, and it was Out of the Shadows?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. And could you, just out of curiosity, is Saturday, I mean, is that right? I mean, you know, the reason I ask is because, you know, we are, you know, Sabbath day, and it's, in Spanish, it's Sábado, you know,
mm-hmm.
which means Saturday. Is that, I mean, is there any kind of truth to that, or is this just, do you think that it's part of, because, you know,
here's the problem. In the splinter groups of the Worldwide Church of God, they want to be involved in the Old Testament types and shadows. The truth of the matter is those Old Testament types and shadows are fulfilled in a substance, and that substance is Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
So to go back to the feast days and the types and shadows as they do in the Church of God is simply wrong. Beyond that, though, with respect to the Sabbath day itself, I think it's important to recognize that in Christ we have our Sabbath rest. So the early Christian church changed the day of worship from Saturday to Sunday, and within weeks, thousands of Jews were willing to give up a theological tradition that had given them their national identity. God placed a new emphasis, a new pattern of worship through Christ's resurrection on the first day of the week, as well as the Holy Spirit's descent on Pentecost Sunday. And Scripture provides us with the reasons behind the symbol of the Sabbath. In Genesis, the Sabbath was a celebration of God's work in creation.
Right.
Then after the Exodus, the Sabbath expanded to a celebration of God's deliverance from oppression in Egypt. But as a result of the resurrection, the Sabbath became a celebration of the rest we have through Christ, who delivers us from sin in the grave. And for the emerging Christian church, the most dangerous snare was a failure to recognize that Jesus was the substance that fulfilled the symbol of the Sabbath. And if people want to be like they are within the splinter groups of the Worldwide Church of God, if they insist on being slavishly bound to Old Testament laws, they should also be forewarned that failing to keep the letter of the law is hazardous to their health, because according to the Mosaic law, anyone who does any work on the Sabbath has to be put to death. But what does the Apostle Paul say? Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. The shadow was the Sabbath. The reality is Christ. So you have to see that Christ is the substance that fulfills all the types and shadows. And the reason that we worship on the first day of the week is we remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and through that, we have our Sabbath rest.
Right. Okay.
So the worldwide Church of God no longer holds to these false teachings. It's splinter groups of the worldwide Church of God that are still embracing Armstrong's teachings, and falsely so.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Okay.
I had my feelings about that, but, you know, I'm the little sister, so I, you know, supposedly I don't know anything. But I think I got some answers from you, and I do thank you so much for giving me the names of those two books, and I will definitely see if he can, you know, I can pass that on to him and he can do some reading.
And hang on, we have more information through the research department, as I mentioned.
Thank you so much. You have a wonderful evening, sir.
Hey, thank you so much for your call. Unfortunately, we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. You remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your question on air. Here's the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. We have the kind of information that callers are asking about on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me, as always, at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you can speak with our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. Thanks for your prayers and support. Without you, I couldn't do what I do. Our team couldn't do what they do. You've made it possible for us to make a difference in the lives of so many around the globe. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We'll look forward to seeing you in a future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So long for now.
In Hank Hanegraaff's The Bible Under Siege, he offers three strategic and memorable acronyms to win the war in the fight for the Bible. First, in light of the current onslaught against the sacred text of Scripture, Hank gives us legacy, an apt means of remembering factors that credible historians consider in determining the historical reliability and meaning of the Bible. Next is Hank's new acronym, SHAFT, a memorable means of unearthing the undermining contentions of the Bart Ehrmans of the world. Indeed, the shaft of the archaeologist's spade is a method by which you can remember that what has been discovered in the soil corresponds to what is detailed in the Scriptures. Finally, maps. Since most Bibles are replete with maps, this should prove to be a memorable association. Become equipped to present the Bible in all its power and authority, and respond to false attacks when you order The Bible Under Siege for your gift to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go online at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
Want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to John listening on KFAX. Hi, John.
Hello, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible.
Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read.
Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y, or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith.
It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, now available in new styles. And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition when you call 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.